This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception, a podcast dedicated to the wide receivers. Are you as confident in your flex as you are in your wide receiver one? I didn't think so. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go. It is our number four of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a terrific day. Expressway's coming up in 20 minutes. Time now for an edition of The Finest. Here's the Chief.
Thank you very much. 877-881-1053. I may have stepped out of line a little bit and got a little bit too hyperbolic about this football weekend. I called it fantastic going into the break. Black and Gold B's calling me out on the Frankel and Frankel injury attorney text line right now.
Because it wasn't fantastic for him.
Man, this weekend's football was terrible. Now, he's a Saints fan, and yeah, he lost on a 58-yard field goal to Younghoe Koo, and obviously that's going to hurt, okay? That's going to hurt on a Monday morning when you thought your team was invincible in New Orleans, when you thought there was just going to be a firework show, laser beams all across the field for four quarters every game with Derek Carr leading the charge. But then reality sets in, and an average Falcons team beat you. And that's just the nature of football right now. And so we went 3-1 as a show, or 1-3, excuse me, as a show in Survivor. Walchuk, the only one getting it done Thursday night. He had the Cowboy confidence. It got a little bit hairy for a second in New York, but he came out on the other side alive. So me and Broadus and Dawson will all be taking L's payoff-wise, Friday at Southern Leisure.
Got this list memorized.
For all to see. I don't know if you guys have any early ideas on what it is you're thinking about doing from a torturous standpoint. But
probably going to shave off my eyebrows.
You're going to go for it?
Yeah.
I like that idea.
Yeah. Sounds easy. You know, I think
it's actually,
I'm kind of a ginger, and they might be graying a little. They're getting lighter, so it won't be as easy to tell. Like if Woolchuck shaved
Woolchuck
his,
did, if I did it, it'd be bad.
It would be bad. Yeah,
maybe
good. I don't know.
Somebody, you know, the Addams Family. You'll remember this one. Lucius and Dawson remember this. You guys, you remember the show?
I know the Addams Family. Yeah.
Somebody sent me a picture of Uncle Fester.
Ah, well done.
Got the ball at a guy with the no eye.
Devontae Adams.
Uncle Fester.
Right, Devontae's Uncle Fester.
No, not his uncle.
I don't think Devontae Adams is going to be traded, at least according to Adam Schefter. It doesn't seem like that, but a lot of these wide receivers are going to be, they're going to be hunted come deadline time. And we talked about the Rashee Rice injury, ACL. That is extremely unfortunate. We also just got news about Christian McCaffrey, the Achilles tendonitis. It's actually in both of his legs.
Bilateral.
So, yeah, it's the rare double Achilles tendonitis.
Overuse, from what I could tell Googling it, it's just from grinding and lifting and sprinting and probably trying to be the best version of himself at an advanced age. And now they have to wonder, you know, how long is it going to take for this to totally subside? I can't imagine tendonitis lasting for more than 6 weeks. You know, I think this is a matter of let's stay competitive. Let's head into the playoffs. Maybe not with the number one overall seed, but as long as we get there, once we arrive, if healthy, we should be all right.
Yeah, I would have him, even when it's like, hey, he's cleared, let's give it another 4 weeks, assuming we still have that much time left in the season, because you really only need him come playoff time. But that's unfortunate and clearly a huge surprise, because there's a part of me that thinks like, hey, Christian, don't you think that before the season started and you were just getting picked number one overall in fantasy drafts across the world, you don't think you'd raise your hand and say, hey, guys, let me just be open and honest and transparent,
you know,
about something, especially since he already got the contract extension in the offseason.
Got a problem
here.
He got
the extra 2-year extendo, which also, you could argue, shows just how blindsided everybody was when it comes to this, the nature of this injury.
I love it, but I in my mind right now, I'm not ruling out that this is a giant conspiracy by the Niners. And it goes to that insurance story that we had last week. If your star players can't play because of injury and you have insurance on them, which the Niners do with everybody on their roster that isn't on a rookie minimum deal, you get the money back against the cap.
Right.
They've recouped $54 million over the last decade. So the player gets his money and the team gets its cap space back. I think it's a giant win-win if you prioritize the championship over everything else.
And then he's got fresh legs going into January.
It's amazing for them.
Gosh, if that ends up being the big picture play here, yeah. I am going to lose my S come
McCaffrey
Christmas
time. Gets $18 million. It only counts $5 million against the cap. Oh, look at this. He's healthy for the playoffs. Man, it's a genius maneuver and a loophole the NFL is likely going to look into closing up coming to this offseason.
I see the Chiefs here, and everybody's throwing out names. Who do they go get? They got to go get somebody, right? Rashee Rice is out. Hollywood Brown's out. Yeah. Isaiah Pacheco's out. I mean, what do you have here? You have Pat Mahomes and a defense, and then, you know, at times and moments, you have Travis Kelce.
Xavier
what are we talking
Worthy.
About here? That's a tough deal. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Xavier Worthy. I do have a little stat of the day involving him, but for the most part, you're kind of
yeah, they need help.
I mean, now you're actually depending on Sky Moore, which no one on planet Earth wants to have to do that. He dropped a nice third down pass yesterday. Just I admire his consistency. Ugh. But is it Amari Cooper? Is it Cooper Kupp? Is it Keenan Allen? Is it Jalen Hyatt there, the speedster with the Giants? Is it Deontay Johnson? He's on an expiring contract. That's the guy. He's lighting it up now that Andy Dalton's there. It's like, hey, just give me a competent quarterback, please, and then I can look like bona fide wide receiver one. And he's on expiring deal, so it's not something that you have to really worry about tying yourself up long-term in here as you're the Chiefs looking basically for a rental. So I think, is it Amari Cooper? Is it Deontay Johnson? I'd probably say Deontay Johnson just because of the Amari Cooper injury history. Trade for Amari Cooper, next thing you know, there's soft tissue situations taking place. Yep. Now, he's playing well right now. He had a huge touchdown called back yesterday,
yes,
which
did.
Is heartbreaking for Broadus in particular because he, yeah. of course, had the Browns in Survivor, mm-hmm. and they couldn't beat a Raiders team. Remember I said we got the laundry list of injuries for the Raiders. It's just like starter, Max Crosby, best player, starter,
yeah.
Devontae Adams out. And it's like I still can't trust Cleveland to beat
you
them.
Shouldn't. You
but
shouldn't.
It's hard to really Sean trust Watson. Anybody
you
these
shouldn't.
Days.
You shouldn't.
I mean, there were moments where he looked good, and then
they
there were moments
a snap. They drove the ball the length of the field for a chance to win the game, and the center snapped the ball early, and then it becomes 3rd and 16. And then they get 10 yards, and then it becomes, you know, a 4th and 6, and then they get sacked. Yeah, you shouldn't trust them.
They've made the Cooper trade, though. Very appealing. I guess Spotrac said they can move.
Oh, yeah, under $1 million.
Man, it's for the deadline, if you want to get him, it's $605,000.
Yeah.
That's it. Now, wow. I don't know what you're going to have to give up, but
wow.
sign me up for that.
They
for
guaranteed all his money, but I think 1.2 of it or something like that.
Yeah, all the 1.2 mil.
If there's no money and you're getting Amari Cooper for a half season plus playoffs, that sounds like about a 3 to me.
Yeah. Well, that'd make,
five?
That'd make the Cowboys
like a five?
Look bad. Because the Cowboys, yeah, got a 5 for
sound like a 5? You take a
well,
5.
Yeah. You give a 5 if you got to give an injury-prone guy $20 million a year.
Yeah.
When it's an injury-prone guy who's healthy at midseason for only $600,000, the value goes up significantly. You're reimbursing them with draft capital for the money they gave them.
Yeah, and at that point, you're like, does Cleveland need to get rid of Amari Cooper more than Kansas City needs Amari Cooper in that scenario? Absolutely not. Mm. So you can kind of hold them over the coals a little bit. Now, to be fair, there is a handful of wide receivers that are in theory out there, but from a cheap financial standpoint, you're probably not getting any more bang for your buck than it is with Amari Cooper. That was eye-opening.
That's amazing.
Right now. That's crazy. I would love to know what a Deontay Johnson trade financially would look like, because I do think he would be the best option on the field. But, man, for that cheap... And if you're the Chiefs, you're going, yeah, I'll probably do that. I'm about to get a third round, or they just got the... I don't know. They got a third round pick for
Sneed.
Yeah. So they already got that or whatever. But I don't know. I think that you got to make a move. And I think Deontay Johnson or Amari Cooper would make a ton of sense. Or maybe even DeAndre Hopkins. I saw Adam Schefter throw that out, but I don't know how much he has. If you're the Chiefs, I'm like, there's probably some other guys I'd rather have. Your Derrick Henry stat of the day involves Ezekiel Elliott. Ezekiel Elliott has 81 yards rushing this year. Derrick Henry, on his first carry of the night last night, had 87 yards. But, of course, he was too expensive, and that's understandable. A
same
guy
draft
of that
class,
caliber.
Though, man. Same draft class.
It's amazing how well he's aged, you know, to do that at that position.
It is.
I mean, that's something that should be studied.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. It helps being... You know, not
super
from planet
strong.
Earth,
yeah.
Which he is, being a guy who's like 250 pounds, ridiculous speed. I'm about to illustrate his speed for you once again, but he eats one meal a day. He takes great care of himself. He works out like an animal. It's pretty incredible what he's been able to do. Yesterday, you had Mahomes throwing the touchdown to Xavier Worthy, right? Out of Texas, speedster, like ridiculously fast, fastest combine we've ever seen, right? And mm-hmm. the 40 with Xavier yep. Worthy. He touched 21.46 MPHs on his 54-yard touchdown yesterday. Derrick Henry on that 87-yard run to start the game was 21.29 MPHs. So you're talking about a difference of, like, very, very small here. I don't even know exactly.
Two-tenths of a mile an hour?
Yeah, like 0.17 miles per hour is how much faster Xavier Worthy was on his top speed yesterday on his huge touchdown compared to Derrick Henry, who weighs over 80 pounds more than him.
Wow.
Derrick Henry is just a he's a different kind of dude, man. He's really a different kind of dude.
What's the fastest 24/7,
time? 24/7. That's what we do around here.
365.
Talent acquisition.
Talent acquisition.
How about this for a Jaden Daniels stat of the day? Jaden damn Daniels. I think that needs to be a part of the
Like
the touchdown calls, like Jaden, damn, Daniels.
There he goes
one.
Again.
Yeah, back at it again with another scoring drive, seeing as he's got 23 scoring drives in his young career, which is four more than he has incomplete passes. He's got 19 incomplete passes. He's got 23 scoring drives. Now, majority of those scoring drives, I believe, are field goals, but we'll still just go ahead and say tip of the cap, sir. That's pretty good stuff right there. Now, he's got a rushing attack. I mean, this McNichols, absolutely.
Well, Brian Robinson Jr.?
No, Brian really Robinson Jr., yes, but McNichols yesterday was just vulturing it all. I mean, and Brian Robinson ran his tail off yesterday. He's the starter, but McNichols, as a guy who owns Brian Robinson at least one of
you're
these
like,
leagues.
Screw this guy.
I'm like, McNichols again? Again,
get him out of the game.
But they have a rushing attack. It's an offensive line that, when you look at the names, does not impress you. But Cliff Kingsbury has found a way with a dual threat quarterback and a couple of good pieces there in that backfield to figure out a way to put together a nice rushing attack. And he's making things like they've got answers. They've got answers to whatever it is these defenses are trying right now. I look forward to seeing the evolution of how this goes and how defenses try to adjust, but right now Jaden Daniels is making it look pretty easy. And I do think Kingsbury, who I was not high on, and I was kind of crapping on that hire throughout the offseason, like, Dan Quinn, what are we doing with this coaching staff? Through 4 weeks, it's hard to say that anybody's doing it much better than he is right now. I think the one thing you can do to water it down is they're playing basically the worst defenses in the NFL to this point. They're not playing anybody of note defensively. They're all basically 28th or worse in success rate defensively. So let's at least acknowledge that. But for the most part, it's just salute to what the Commanders got going on right now offensively.
The efficiency's been insane. He was the first quarterback to have an 85% or higher completion percentage in consecutive games in the history of the sport. And through four games, he's got the best completion percentage in the history of the NFL. So, I mean, it's been incredible what Jaden Daniels is doing, but time will tell. Is it sustainable?
Nobody at any point in their career has had a four-game stretch of this high a percentage. That's what we're seeing is impressive and terrifying. You know, I think he's a natural fit here in the NFL. What do you think happens with these guys that are normally running in the 21s that sometimes they go like 2 miles an hour faster and hit 23? It's just crazy. Like, you look at the fastest times in league history. Raheem Mostert a couple times has hit 23. Yeah. Tyreek Hill in his earlier years would hit 23. But even these super fast guys in a lot of plays, they're not going higher than 21 very often at all.
I don't know. I think for the most part, if you're at 21 and change, you're pulling away and now you're not really concerned about the afterburners and, oh my gosh, I got to really race to the end zone. If you're going 21 plus, you're pretty comfortably outrunning everybody. So you're not feeling like you have to really turn the jets on. I don't know, though. I don't know how to explain how Derrick Henry is barely slower than Xavier Worthy.
Yeah, it's incredible.
It really is, man.
Fountain of youth, dude.
Almost as incredible as Jalen Hurts struggling throwing the football and the Eagles' entire disaster right now. That play to start the game where he's got Saquon Barkley wide open down the sideline and you could basically start this thing off with like a Derrick Henry type explosion here with a huge touchdown to get things rolling, and he just misses completely out of bounds. I'm sure Eagles fans are keeping their composure right now and having some rationale and understanding with that. But from a distance, you're looking at it going, wow, Jalen Hurts, I don't know what's happened to you.
And they have leveraged their future to get him under the cap with that big of a payday and maintain the rest of their roster. This might be the end for, you know, a couple, 2-3 years for Philly while they get things cleaned up and recover from this massive mistake.
Nick Bosa led the 49ers pass rush. He had 9 pressures yesterday. His pass rush get off was the quickest by any defender in a game over the last seven seasons. So he was playing with a little extra fire yesterday. That is for sure. And they're going to need him because that Niners defense, of course you have Bosa, you have Fred Warner, but that's not a defense that's really scaring anybody. But the defense that's really not scaring people right now is the Eagles. And the funniest thing was watching C.J. Gardner-Johnson, who is maybe the one seed for smack talk in the NFL right now, walking out of the tunnel onto the field in Tampa before getting his ass kicked, and he kept repeating, "I'm going to put belt to ass today. I'm going to put belt to ass today." And then his team ended up getting blown out by the Bucs.
Maybe his own butt.
It's a tough call.
They got belt to their own buns.
I guess so, dude.
Well, thank you, Chief.
Yes, sir.
In addition to the finest most evenings at 5 o'clock here in your GBAG Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we'll hit the expressway. We'll take you commercial free to the top. LA Live's coming up at 5:40. Latest news out of Cowboys practice and Mavs media day is what awaits you next here.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception, a podcast dedicated to the wide receivers. Are you as confident in your flex as you are in your wide receiver one? I didn't think so. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The G-Bag Nation. Yeah, buddy, it's time to hit the expressway. Let's go commercial free to the top. What do you say, G-Bag Nation? LA Live's coming up in about 15 minutes. We have a college football super segment coming up in about 7 minutes. Segment here is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And it's brought, the expressway is presented by the on-time experts. Okay, let's start with some Cowboys news. Mike McCarthy saying today Tank had a second opinion, but it does not sound like anything has changed. It's going to be a multiple week possible Liz Frank injury, sprained foot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's tough, man. That's, what, 4 to 6 weeks or so, Brian? What do you hear?
Yeah, I think it's four would be optimistic. I think six is probably what we're looking at here.
Okay. Well, hopefully Tank does make a full recovery, and we haven't seen the last of him in a Cowboys uniform. You know, I know he's getting up there, and that's the kind of injury, you know, but Cowboys need him so bad. I think if you're projecting forward a month and a half, it's highly possible you're still very much in a playoff race, maybe in an NFC East Division race, and I don't think Washington's going to run away with it, so hopefully Tank can get back before too long. But then on Micah Parsons, you know, I think Steve said today at noon that he's week to week, and then Mike McCarthy's press conference at 3 o'clock kind of echoing the same thing. Brian, what are you hearing about Micah's availability?
Yeah, that one looks more like you're probably going to miss a couple of weeks. So that'd be the couple of games would be the be this Steelers game against the Steelers, Lions, and then you got the bye, and then let's reconvene after the bye and see where we're at.
Okay, so that's not good either. You know, I was kind of hoping, but whenever you hear high ankle sprain, you should probably think 3 weeks, you know, maybe six if it's one of the bad ones that swells up really bad and gets bruised. Mike was asked about Dalvin Cook today. Didn't say much other than they'll keep him going, and he's a good fit in the running back room, so it appears that it's going to be a status quo there. For the Cowboys and Dalvin Cook, don't expect a call up there. On Mazi Smith, he's getting more confident and comfortable. I mean, if we could just fast forward to the end of this year, let's say Cowboys don't make the playoffs, a disappointment, but you have Mazi Smith trending as a solid starter who can flash good, and you give me Cooper Beebe and Guyton amongst the best rookies, you know, trending towards being plus starters next year, I would take that as a significant progress for the season at this point. No question about where we are with Deron Bland yet. I know he went out. They talked about this week as being maybe the beginning of an opportunity to return, depending on how he was doing. I haven't heard anything about Deron Bland yet this week. Have you, Brian?
Not. He's going to work with Britt Brown tomorrow, and then, but he's not going to be available at all this week. Maybe look for something to start practicing or more availability next week, but this week would not be that would not happen.
I mean, if you look at the things that you did well under Dan Quinn that sort of fell apart, you know, I think you look at the takeaways as the biggest thing right now.
Well, Zim, remember we all were talking about that. Zim told us that he didn't think that the takeaways would be that high. I mean, he was saying, hey, listen, if you think this is, you know, this, not that he doesn't want to turn the ball over, but yeah, he was pretty adamant about that. I'm thinking training camp even was saying that, you know, I know this, the turnovers are high, been high here the last couple of years, but they've, you know, heck, they dropped two in the damn game the other day. You know, yeah. Hooker,
my God.
You know, so, I mean, when they get a chance, good. But Mike was pretty adamant about that. He's like, man, Dan did a nice job with those turnovers. Like he goes, I would be surprised if we had that many turnovers.
Yeah, and maybe it was masking some poor fundamentals.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was the thing, though. It was like you're going to give up some in the way of potentially being able to force the turnovers, but you will make up for it to some extent with being sound, being able to stop the run, everybody being on the same page a little bit more. And perhaps not giving up as many explosive plays. Things haven't quite come together yet. Obviously, you had Deron Bland last year. You haven't had that. And then you're still dealing with an ACL Trayvon Diggs. So it wouldn't be fair to say he's like at the height of his powers yet. So you get later in the season more himself Diggs plus Bland back, and you probably get a little bit more in the way of opportunities that way.
Yeah, no, you have those two guys in.
Pass rush was so much better with Dan Quinn. And this pass rush, and that was forcing a lot of the turnovers. And now, I mean, even with Micah and Tank, you're looking at comfortable quarterbacks.
Yeah, the injury to Sam Williams, as the longer we go, I'd love to see what he would be possibly doing. But the guys you lost to Washington as well.
Yeah, Dorrance Armstrong had himself a second half yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. Fowler. I mean, you lost a lot of depth when it comes to that pass rush, being able to keep guys fresh.
Okay, elsewhere, Andy Reid saying the Chiefs will just have to spread the ball around with Rashee Rice out. We've been watching baseball all day, you know, not just looking at the box score. You know, we can't take our eyes off the pitch-by-pitch action here, especially with a little extra baseball here to wrap up this NL East season. You have the Braves and Mets doing a doubleheader, and the first game was insane with the back and forth, and the Mets get a two-run bomb in the eighth to have the final lead change, and they win the East. And now the Braves need to win game two in order to get in the playoffs as well. They needed a split. But Chris Sale had back spasms in between games or early in the morning, was unable to start. They're somehow leading one zip in the sixth, Brian.
Yeah, they are leading one zip, and they're kind of going there. People are talking about that Chris Sale has not really been available since September 16th, and nobody was really sure what the problem was, but this might be what we're looking at right now, that the back spasms since the 16th have been an issue, and here we go. You know, they're battling right now. They're up 1-0 as they go to the top of the seventh, I believe, is where we're at now. But yeah, this, you know, if they could just get a split, they get in, and then they'd have to travel to San Diego and play tomorrow. But it sounds pretty dicey right now for Chris Sale.
We lost one of the great characters of the 90s in the NBA community with Dikembe Mutombo. He was incredible with the Hawks early in his career with Mookie Blaylock and Steve Smith and the great players that Atlanta had. And then in the middle of the 2001 season, he was traded to Allen Iverson 76ers for Matt Geiger and a couple of throw-ins, and had the great run, and they won game one in the finals against the Lakers. But ultimately, Los Angeles came back and whooped Ty Lue and everybody involved there, and or the other way around. And you know, the next thing you know, Dikembe Mutombo is retired, and now at 58 years old, he has passed on from complications due to a brain tumor. I didn't even hear about this.
I didn't
even
know he had one either. Mm-hmm. So sad.
You know, sometimes people get sick and they want to keep things private. Jason Kidd and Kyrie Irving talking championship today. Luka Doncic talking championship today. It was one of the major themes of Mavs Media Day. And they all kind of talked about Klay Thompson, you know. Kyrie said it was easy to convince Klay to come to Dallas because of his experience being with the Mavs organization over the last year and a half, everything leading up to it. He said, I just told him my story and, you know, how comfortable it is and how the Mavs make it easy to be you. And I just think everything has gone really great. We didn't know when Don Nelson and Rick Carlisle moved on. You got Nico and Jason Kidd, but I'd say the culture is better than it's ever been. And it's awesome, you know, to hear them talking about that, everything we've been through over the last three decades with the Mavs trying to woo, you know, big players. It seems like it's finally a place to be. And probably not a coincidence that it was after they moved on from Rick Carlisle, as much as I love Rick, you know, as a person and as a coach. And I think it just his message, his style had definitely gotten stale, and it had built a reputation around the league that maybe it wasn't that friendly of a place to play. But, you know, championship dreams can come alive now that we have Klay here. I hope he's that impactful. You know, I feel like almost Quentin Grimes and Najee Marshall are going to have to be the kind of players that will put you over the top, maybe more than Klay. But, You know, the three-point shooting, the floor spacing, we saw how much of a boost it was when Miami got Ray Allen to go with LeBron, D. Wade, and Chris Bosh. And if he can just have that kind of a role, you know, Peja Stojakovic for your Mavs right. in 2011. He only played 15, 18 minutes a night, but that floor spacing when he was on was a massive game changer. So we'll hope for the best with Clay and that Father Time has not had the final say. All right. It's time now for a college football super segment. Before we get to LA Live, who's your super seg host of the day?
It's the Bully. Chuck.
Well, my goodness, we have a change at the top of your AP poll. Now, hey, really matters all about the college football playoff rankings, but Texas has been jumped. This is after a 35-13 first SEC win for Mississippi State. And we got news today that Quinn Ewers is indeed on track to play and return for the game against Oklahoma.
They have an open week this week.
Right up the road to the Cotton Bowl. So that's kind of what we were thinking anyway, but they got good news about it today. Arch Manning, 26 of 31, 324 yards, couple of TDs in that win over Mississippi State at home. Boom, shakalaka indeed. But Alabama, they jumped up to the number one spot after an instant classic against Georgia. This game looked like it might be over at halftime. Jalen Milroe is out there doing it with his arm and his legs. Ryan Williams, this freshman diaper dandy sensation at 17 years old, is taking the country by storm. But then Carson Beck said, not so fast, my friends, Lee Corso style. He throws for three tutties, 439 yards. I'm thinking to myself, Carson Beck as a first-round top 10 quarterback after the first half, what are people seeing?
Thanks, but no thanks.
Bad take, because in the second half, he looked every bit of that with timing, anticipation, and accuracy. But Ryan Williams ripping the heart right out of the Bulldogs on one play. They get back, they take the lead, and the tide keeps rolling. 41-34, maybe the game of the year. That fourth quarter was absolutely unbelievable, and that topped the drama that we saw on Friday night. Brian, I'm telling you, I'm like, man, you can watch Miami and Virginia Tech. Mm-hmm. This thing's probably going to get done at a reasonable time.
Yeah.
No! That game went till about 11 o'clock, and it came down to a Hail Mary that was called a touchdown for Virginia Tech, then was overturned incomplete. The Canes hold on 38-34. I've looked at that play about 100 times. I can't tell you.
I know.
I mean, I don't know. I think they probably got it right, but then again, they called it a touchdown on the field. I think what they called on the field, you probably got to stand with there.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. The call on the field should stand because it's so tough to judge. But yeah, Miami gets super lucky there. Cam Ward made some unbelievable plays in the midst of that comeback, but that was definitely one where if you're a Virginia Tech fan, you feel like you have a leg to stand on here. And you can be as upset as any fan out there that feels like they got gypped on something. I totally get that.
Man.
Yeah, you know, this has got...
This upcoming draft of quarterbacks is going to be so interesting with Ward and Milroe and Sanders and Beck and Ewers. Yeah. Like, it's going to be interesting.
This has got some ACC protect where we are in the standings vibe to it.
Oh, help
try and keep a team in the top 10.
Yeah, help Miami still represent the conference.
Look at the rankings. The rankings right now, Alabama, Texas, Ohio. Stop me when you hear an ACC school.
Yeah.
Ohio State, Tennessee, Georgia, Oregon, Penn State. Now we have Miami.
Yeah.
And then after that, it's nothing.
Yeah, well, you got to go to Clemson at 15. You know, you've got to
some Louisville at 22, but they got three teams.
Louisville got beat by Notre Dame the other day.
They did,
but see, that's where to me, you know, if you're the ACC and you're making this decision,
this call came from upstairs.
Yeah, that looks incomplete to me, Jim. That looks incomplete.
It's too close.
Yeah, I don't think we can overturn this one. You know, or whatever. That to me is. That's where I kind of worry sometimes about these conferences. You know, that's hundreds of millions of dollars on the line right now. So,
yeah, it's bad.
Yeah. Especially when you have one school in the top 10.
Yeah, they're holding it down.
Yeah.
I think they got a big matchup with Cal.
I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there.
Game day is going to be at Cal.
Isn't that weird? I think it's the first time ever they're going to be at Berkeley.
Who's
Miami and Cal.
Miami and Cal?
Yeah. Hey, they're showing up for the Canes here.
That's the game day. Somebody's already dubbed this game the Woke versus Coke.
I saw that. People were trying to figure out, like, what should we call this? And that's not a bad one for it.
I don't see how anybody could make a better one.
Quick
side note. I double-checked this. I didn't think I was getting butt-cracked. Adam Schefter, a candidate to take Woj's job?
Yes.
I saw Jeff Passan was reported as well.
It just, I mean.
Jeff Passan might get the job?
Are they going to double dip in NFL and NBA?
Schefter would cover the NFL and the NBA as the ultimate insider.
Yeah, that's it makes me believe, though, that the leagues and the media partners are just spoon-feeding insiders deals.
No question.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what it is.
There was a crosstalk debate with the morning show in KNC, and that's what RJ tried to argue. Was basically like anybody that is working for ESPN, you're fine. They're giving you the connections. And
until they decide they want to fire you.
But yeah, and Bobby wanted to argue like, no, it's really about the relationships and, you know, all that stuff does matter. But maybe you're right. I mean, if you're looking at Jeff Passan and Adam Schefter, two guys that don't cover the NBA, and all of a sudden they can just take Woj's gig.
But Schefter has reported on NBA stuff before.
He has?
Yeah. He has.
I think he probably have sources that cross-pollinate.
It's his agents. It's his agents,
those
man.
Connections. Yeah, yeah. You're right. The agents are running everything. We saw with college football. We did.
Yeah.
Graham Harrell, who of course is beloved here in the state of Texas. Shout out to
Texas
Red Raiders. He's with Purdue as their offensive coordinator.
Purdue maker.
They just bleep canned him. He just got fired after four games and a third straight loss for Purdue. So
he's trying to run the air raid.
He's looking for a job.
Did you just say, oh, Graham? That's pretty good. Yeah. Graham.
I do just want to show love. North Texas, big time win. Chandler Morris continues to just get the job
done.
Light
him up, Chandler.
Go Mean Green. Yes. Let's go.
Yes, 96-yard touchdown. Hell ties the AAC record for longest pass play.
So
ever.
the only blemish on our record is
Tech.
Is the Tech wreck.
We did not show up against Tech, but undefeated other than that game. We just pretend it doesn't happen.
Who do we have next?
Don't worry about that. I'll look in a second.
Oh, we'll I think we might be off. Now for an edition of LA Live, into the Pimp Cup we go.
Yeah.
Here's Logan.
Hey, man, so if you're Pat Mahomes, then you might have taken out your star receiver with your helmet right to the knee. What you going to do for you guy? You got to do something for him, bro.
Yeah, you're right, dude.
You got to do something. You might have taken that man out for the whole season, for the rest of the season. You got to do something for him.
Maybe. Yeah. Picking up his legal fees and his medical bills.
Yeah. Maybe ask.
What's your lawyer's name, bro? Go ahead.
Maybe ask.
See me that invoice. I got you.
He could ask Deshaun Watson some of his.
No, don't ask Deshaun Watson the damn thing.
Well, you're like, hey, buddy, Deshaun, you got any numbers I can pass along to my guy?
Oh, my God.
He's going to need some rub down.
Send you a care package.
Yeah. Knock on the door.
Nurse my guy back to health.
Yeah. Please.
Oh, my Lord. All right, let's get into a Monday-Friday edition of L.A. Live right after the great Rick James.
Well, all right, you squares. It's time you smoke. Fire up this funk and let's have a toe. Yeah. It'll make you dance to some of everything.
I see these big 350-pound guys all the time going, I have never cheated on my wife. I'm like, I bet that was tough. Tiger doesn't get any credit for all that turned down, and that's the number you're looking for right there. My wife's best friend, her husband cheated on her, and my wife hates Tiger's guts. And I'm like, well, what about that guy? You don't hate that guy. She goes, he did it one time. I said, he had one chance. This guy had sex with 100% of the women he possibly could his entire goddamn life. Tiger was 18 for 82,000. That takes a little goddamn discipline right there. If 82,000 women want to have sex with you and you only 18 of them, that's love.
Love.
He was in love with that woman. She broke his tiny tiger heart.
Yeah. Well, run wide. This is LA Live for Monday, September 30th, 2024. It is a Monday, Friday here in LA Live. Word to PPT for the name. Monday, Friday vibes in LA Live is just where I go over some things I've seen over the weekend and bring it up to the fellas. You guys seen The Penguin on Max?
I have not seen the new episode.
Oh, it looks good.
No, it's really good.
I can't wait to watch it.
No, it's really, really, really good.
The first episode was awesome.
Yeah. Colin Farrell is his name?
Colin Farrell, yeah.
Colin Farrell. I couldn't even tell it was him.
No, it's unbelievable.
I couldn't even tell it was him. He did his damn job in that thing, man. Put his foot in that. Literally. Oh. He put his foot in that.
Oh,
literally.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I suggest y'all watch that. Shout out to everyone that went to the fair over the weekend. Yeah!
Five overtimes for UA&M getting it done.
Yeah, big special shout out to everyone that attended the State Fair Classic.
Is this still the Al Liscombe State Fair Classic? That's what I, when I first heard it, used to be that. Everybody prepare, the Al Liscombe State Fair Classic, Classic, Classic. Yeah, attended the State Fair Classic with Grambling and Prairie View. You're right, Woolchuck. Five OTs in the game.
Yeah, you go.
Five OTs. We left at the top of the, what was that, the top of the fourth quarter to go get a burger.
Yeah.
And then we sat down for all five of them joints, snuck the burger. Well, they didn't sneak the burger. You just walk it back in, took the burger back in.
Yeah, we got a nice burger right out front there. Got one of those at the soccer game.
The Juicy Lucy.
The Minnesota Juicy Lucy?
No, it's a tailgate. Juicy's tailgate burger. Right, gotcha. Yeah, it's amazing, man.
Gotcha.
Right. I had two of those and a turkey leg.
That's getting it done, Lucy. Gosh, nice work, dude.
How many yellow cups of beer?
What a tone setter for the rest of the State Fair season, man. You came out of there on fire.
Already, bro. I didn't drink any. I did have any yellow cups of brought us, but I did have something called a Texas Bullfrog.
Okay.
It's beer and margarita together.
All right, there you go. Well, is it Lucius is like the thing where they take the bottle Corona and dump
it? It was like half and half.
Okay.
I wish it was that. I was like, what's it melted? I was like, what is this? We'll go get another one because maybe that was wrong. Hey, there was a whole concert going on in the end zone of the State Fair Classic game.
The bands are
talking about a whole concert. Yeah, the bands were doing their thing from jump. I watched the bands walk in, which that was a pleasure. I just accidentally caught them talking about like the staging, you know, from how they walk through the fair and get to the Cotton Bowl. Oh my God, you know,
those drum majors are like gods.
Yeah. No, drum majors. Nobody has more sauce than the drum major.
Nobody has more sauce. No.
Nah, Rick Ross is at the game. Big Tuck, Trap Boy Freddy, whole lot of rappers having a full concert out there with Bebe in the damn end zone as the game was going.
That's better.
Nice.
I was like, all right, this is what we're doing. Shout out to everybody that was out there. I had a good time. I'll be out there again this week, probably tomorrow.
For dinner?
For dinner. G-Bag of the Day, we do it every weekday on the fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, hit me up at Lucky Lucius P. What you guys have been doing, I appreciate that. I got to congratulate you. Got to pat you back when you're doing something good like that. This is a community thing, and everybody's hitting me up because maybe I'll miss it. And you'll let me know at 1:30. Jerry was talking crazy, L.A. I appreciate that. I got one with Will.
He does that a lot.
He does. He does. I say that respectfully, too, Jerry, because I don't want no smoke with you, bro. There's no lock on the pimp cup door. You know what I mean?
You can get in.
Hit me up at Lucky Lucius, P-L-U-C-I-O-U-S, or Lucius Alexander on Facebook, or you can follow us all if you find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. Our winner right here, we're going to go to the NFL on Fox crew. They were pranking Gronk. They made up a fake Cowboys tight end that's going to enter the game. And, Brock stood on the square a little bit right here, fam.
So they were talking about Tony Gonzalez. They're talking about Gronk. I don't think he's Gronk.
Gronk, where do you list Russo as, like, among the tight ends? Playing today, at least.
He's been out for a little bit, so he might be a little rusty coming back. But I think they're going to give him the opportunities. That's for sure. But also, they got Ferguson as well. They're going to be a 1-2 combo.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Ferguson has been the guy because Russo's been hurt. You got to admit, with Russo coming back, it just changes their offense.
Yeah, but Ferguson has been showing that he's the guy right now. They're going to still feed Ferguson.
He's the only guy in the league that has two fingers missing on his right hand. That's why he's been out.
Come on, bro.
And he's back now.
So is that going to affect him when he's such
back
a
guy?
I'm telling you, you're the guy.
I still have all five of my fingers.
But you know what? You're the tight end.
All 10 of my fingers. All five on each hand,
okay? All right. This is a joke. Rich Russo does not play for the Dallas Cowboys.
I was wondering.
That up for you.
Is that live? I was wondering, like, in my mind, like, I was going to say, right when it was done, I was going to say, guys, I never heard of Rich Russo.
That's a good bit, man. Terry Bradshaw should not be involved, though.
Because
if anybody's going to read a fake name, it's going to be Terry.
Yeah.
And totally lied to you.
Yeah, I've seen the kid. Yeah, yeah. What school did he go to? Alabama. Yeah, I've seen him.
His two-finger line, though, is pretty good.
Yeah.
Him and then Jay Glazer was doing his best. I'm trying to figure out who was in their bag more of really trying to sell it. Yeah,
he was pushing them. But Gronk. Yeah. But Gronk.
You have to acknowledge.
But you got to acknowledge, Gronk. Hey, LA Live 105.3 The Fan on a Monday. Keeping it in the NFL, did y'all see all the massive fights that broke out at the Saints and Falcons game?
Those two say hate each other.
They hate each other.
Yeah, they were fighting all the way up in the nosebleeds up there, Eric. All the way up in the nosebleeds. Things took an ugly turn in ATL as the two rival fan bases duked it out in the stands. That field goal killed him, boy.
Free food can't help.
Field goal killed him.
You better have good balance if you're fighting in the stands, dude.
And the nosebleed section, most steepest area.
Ooh.
And they're throwing real-life hands up there.
Yeah.
One video showed a Falcon fan brutally kicking the head of a Saints fan multiple times. This fool was trying to get a real-life charge at the game.
Dude was knocked out.
He's trying to catch a felony. Yeah, towards the end of the video, the fan was lying there motionless.
Oh, no.
Yeah, trying to knock him out like Dawson said, trying to kill the man.
Yeah, three stomps to the back of the head. This dude's out cold.
What are we doing, bro? Y'all got to relax. Another Atlanta fan was apprehended. No. Another fan was dragged across the bleachers. I seen that. They just drug him across the bleachers. They were trying to get to him and beat him up. Multiple people injured at the Saints and Falcons game due to all the damn fights. Now, there was one guy that recorded it up there in the nosebleed section. And man, I was like, is this real? Yeah. I had to look in the comments. I was like, did somebody do a voiceover? Because this is the weirdest. You heard it too, bro?
Yeah.
You heard it, bro?
I didn't believe the audio either.
Man, they get down in Atlanta.
I was like, what is going on here? Is this AI?
They get down in Atlanta, dog.
I mean, a lot of NFL stadiums are bad. I've never felt like that unsafe other than like a high school party at 2 a.m.
You know? Yeah.
The same vibe. People are hammered. They're violent. You know?
Yeah, when the bad kids from the other school walk in the party, you're like, my God, bro.
Like, oh, no, we don't need an invite.
They're about to beat us up and take our girl. listen to the fight commentary. I mean, this man was excited up there. Yeah.
Like, this is better than the game.
Was this for the stomp out?
Yeah.
Wow.
Get it, bitch. Woo! Get it, bitch. Woo! Let's go! Whoa! Let's go, boys! Woo! Oh, yeah. F*** his ass.
Wow.
I'm going to stop. If I'm fighting and somebody say that, I'm stopping. Yeah. I'm looking around.
Dude was cheering on a homicide.
Yeah, it's like getting into an argument and somebody screams, world star, check your size, bro. Yeah. Check your size.
You better check your six.
Yeah. Fuck. Someone says, hold on. Hey. Hey.
If you're the lower guy and the smaller guy, just leave. It's over, you know?
Yeah, I'm not fighting up there in no stands. I'm not fighting out there in public like that. I'm too old for that.
Ooh.
I'm way too old for that. I'm going to look crazy. I learned my lesson at a Metallica concert, and all I did was get pushed. My ankle said crunch. Okay. Mm-hmm. Quick hits right here. Quick hits. New York City mayor, this is my guy. It's going down. They got him.
Got him.
They've been circling on him, too. They've been catching all types of people connected to Mayor Eric Adams. He's charged with bribery and campaign finance offenses.
Mail fraud.
Mail, all types of stuff. He couldn't stay away from that turkey money.
Yeah.
Turkey. Or is it called Turkey now? I think it's called Turkey because of the Olympics. Didn't they change the name to Turkey?
Oh, yeah.
Or is that somebody else?
I wasn't sure if that was real or not.
Yeah, neither was.
Let's go with turkey money.
Yeah, they got him. And I think it's just apropos because my man used to be a street guy. He used to be a gangster.
Mm.
And then he became a cop. Top cop.
Went the iced tea route.
Yeah. But he hates rats. The whole time he knew he was doing this with his campaign funds. And then all those guys started going down. And he knew right then, man, I got a rat on my tail.
Everyone that knows me, they know one thing. I hate rats. You know, when we started killing them in Borough Hall,
come on.
You know, some of the same folks are criticizing us now called me a murderer because I was killing rats. Well, you know what? We're going to kill rats.
It just sounds so good now that I know. Now that I know you was out there doing nefarious stuff. I bet you do hate rats, sir.
Hiding in plain sight with that one. It's quality wordplay.
He knew it the whole time.
Sending a message.
Mm. Yeah, we're going to miss old great Eric Adams. Maybe he can stand the fight. Maybe he just have to step down or something like that.
Yeah, resign.
Yeah, resign. Remember they were smoking weed out there?
Yeah.
One thing for sure, one law that was passed is clearly being practiced right now, because I smell some weed. Someone is smoking. Someone is smoking.
Pass it over.
He's trying to find out who it is.
Let's get that Kyrie laugh. Not Kyrie,
Kawhi.
Leonard. Kawhi Leonard, yeah.
This guy.
Talk to her. Talk to her. With Hawk Tua is now the number three podcast on Spotify. It's a great name. I don't know what she's talking about.
Oh, you got to give him that Hawk Tua.
Yeah, I wonder. Can she hold a conversation?
Yeah,
she out there doing biz? Does
she
have a
doing interviews. She's got guests on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Talk Tua. It's a great name.
Great name for sure.
Yeah. Fantastic name. Let's see. 39-year-old singer Lana Del Rey.
Lana.
Thank you, bro.
Yep.
Lana Del Rey got married to an alligator tour guide this past week.
Nice.
Yeah, alligator tour guide. Now, didn't she used to be hooked up with a police officer, too? She's worth $30 million, by the way.
Yeah, she's big time.
She's
big time. Very, very right. I do not know her back.
She's with one of these swamp people guys
now?
She's
one of those swamp guides.
She can marry for love now.
Yeah. So blue-collar boys are up. Out here in these streets, blue collar boys are up.
See if he can dodge a prenup on that.
Yeah. What else we got? Diddy's lawyer addressed the thousand baby oil bottles.
Okay. Oh, man.
I am concerned for Diddy. I mean, you know, he's already in trouble, but the lawyer he picked, this lawyer just needs to do a little bit more research.
Right. Yeah.
Because Diddy's lawyer said that, you know, Diddy's a rich man and he buys things in bulk and he probably bought it at Costco or something like that, like most Americans do. Costco came out and told TMZ, we do not sell baby oil.
Don't sell it.
God dog it, crap.
We do not sell baby oil.
Come on, man. Do your research first, bro.
Lawyer's trying to get a dub somewhere. I'm going to pick apart that baby oil angle.
Come on. And now you got Cat Williams making fun of Diddy and his lawyer. You know, Cat Williams told you in January, this is going to be the year of truth. You're going to see a lot of things are going to be truthful.
It's Cat Williams season right now. He's hard in my algorithm. Rewatching all the hits.
Oh, okay.
It's Cat Williams season.
Okay.
Yeah.
Clear that up, fam. Listen to Cat.
We need a dumbass lawyer, fam. You probably got it at Costco. Costco hit right back. We don't even sell, baby.
It's not looking good, bro.
Yeah.
Not looking good. Do your Googles first before you try to defend me, man. Please. And RIP to the great Dikembe Mutombo. One of my favorite NBA moments involves Mutombo and Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, Dawson.
Yeah.
Mutombo was not afraid to trash talk Jordan.
No.
Right there.
The All-Star jerseys, right?
In the All-Star jerseys. They're getting wrapped up. They're in the trainer's room. And Mutombo's like, you never dunked on me. You never dunked on me. And Michael's got a little upset about it. And I'll just play this before I get on out of here, yo. Mike was a little upset about it because Mike got his get back later that season anyway.
Come on, man. Come on, Mike. Be for real, you haven't got me yet.
Huh?
You haven't got me yet.
Mike. Don't even try it.
You want me to go call Scotty?
You have to call Scotty.
Boy, boy.
What you gonna call Scotty for? I haven't got you recently. Yeah, I agree with
you. No, you haven't got me in 6 years. 1, 2, 3, just go ahead and say it.
You
came back.
No.
You came back.
No. He said, I'll get you one day.
He never dunked on you. He never put you on the highlight.
No. He said, I would love to give you my poster, but it's not happening.
It's not going to happen. You know you're lying.
It's never going to happen.
Come on, man.
When?
All right, we're going to cast your green.
Ball boy. Who gets Scotty?
Puts it off the glass. No, Luke tipped it out. Michael will get a pull for the fresh shot. MJ. Michael shakes the finger, but he finally got his dunk on Mount Mutombo.
Mike shook the finger and everything at him, bro.
Epic.
All right, pizza the great Mutombo out there, bro.
Most iconic sports finger of all time.
Who want a sex Mutombo?
Who want a sex Mutombo? Yeah.
All right, Lord willing and the creek don't rise. That's fine. That's my time. My name is Lucius Alexander. I'll be here tomorrow, if God willing. Holla.
Thank you, Lucius. LA Live every night about 5:40 here in the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the Ranger season has concluded, Wolchuk.
It has. It has. We got an update on Sporzy. How's his offseason looking? We also got to tell you who's in the dang playoffs here. We got Mets and Braves. Spicy getting into the final innings here on The Fan.
Hey, fantasy football owners. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex, and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.